In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is the Ascension Day text just read. Well, we have now come full circle. Christ left the throne at the right hand of God to descend to and to live among men. And now on Ascension Day, he returns in triumph to the right hand of God. Mission accomplished. The sum and substance of that mission, the mission in a nutshell, is this: that everything in the universe, its billions of stars, the galaxies, the planets, the earth itself teeming with life, all of it originated in the loving heart of God. It all started there. It proceeded forth and came from Him. If you will, He gave birth to it. He gave it life, His life. And when in Adam's fall the world lost its life, it was evident that only God could restore it, give it back its life, the life which man had taken. And immediately there in Eden, after man sinned, we are transported to the cross and to Calvary and to Joseph's garden. And if you will, life from the dead for the whole world. Eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and crucifying Christ are immediately hooked up. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Brings us right to Calvary and our death, and to the New Testament garden, and the restoration of things to be as they were again. That act of disobedience by our first parents is murder. The universe was like a corpse, like a graveyard, a corpse lying by the wayside, a doomed without hope of resuscitation of life from any inner resource. It certainly could not breathe life into itself. Like with Lazarus, the world was a corpse in a dead cave, and only a powerful, life-giving word from outside could arouse it from its sleep, could awaken it from the dead. At Christmas, we sing about the real Good Shepherd, who left the safety and the glory, the acclaim and the honor, all the riches of the highway above to descend to the ditch to help his fallen neighbor. He leaves his heavenly Father's throne, is born an infant small. This one is the word of life for the whole creation, sent out from the loving heart of the Father to seek and to save a lost world. This is the voice. Our first parents heard it. This now is that voice that would call the whole world out of its dark grave. This is the one who proceeded forth and came from God, who would taste of death for every man. This Word made flesh is the only begotten Son of the Father, begotten of His Father from eternity. He is in Revelation called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The gospel which we believe and proclaim is called the everlasting gospel. It's from eternity to eternity. This everlasting gospel is about the Son of the right hand. That's what David calls Him in the psalm. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for yourself, as if to say, strike him, punish him, let your hand be on him, the Son of the right hand, so that the people down here who deserve it, deserve to be smitten, could be free. The one who proceeded forth and came down from the Father is in fact the right hand of God, the right hand of His power. He is the very power of God embodied in the flesh. This is that power which created the world and now has redeemed it. The right hand and the holy arm that has gotten Him the victory. The origin of our salvation then is in heaven. Isaiah in chapter 6 is given a view, a vision of it. You will recall that he said when he saw this one on the throne, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among people of an unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then a seraphim takes a coal from off the altar, indicating that the offering was already finished. He takes a coal and touches the lips, and then he says, "Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged, atoned for." All of it shows that the atonement and absolution and forgiveness have their origin in heaven. Also, to show the same thing, Moses was commanded to construct the tabernacle, which included the Holy of Holies and the mercy seat, the place of the atonement, after the pattern which he was shown on the mount. And then the Lord said to Moses, "I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." Obviously, it was the same Lord, the Passover Lamb, who was in the cloud that led Israel out of the land of bondage and slavery and plagues and death to victory over all of their enemies and a new life and freedom. He spoiled the Egyptians, the enemy. He triumphed gloriously. "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power," Moses says. "Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." Later, Solomon's temple presents the same picture. "And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place," the place of the offering, if you will, the place of the mercy seat, the atonement, "that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. It was the shepherd of Israel who dwelt there between the cherubim. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth." That shepherd of Israel who dwelled between the cherubims descended. And now that he has descended and completed the atonement for sin, he has ascended far above the heavens and is enthroned between the cherubim again. The writer of the Hebrews puts it like this: "Which hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Christ entered with his blood, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Every account then is settled in heaven. He appeared there after his ascension, holy, undefiled, without fault, to settle matters. And that is the picture which God wants us to have of the place to which he ascended and to which we will one day ascend. When we get there with our Lord, Jesus, with our judge, to meet God, the scene will be that everything has been taken care of, every bill has been paid. Paul knew that the account had been settled in heaven, and that is why he could say with such conviction, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He knew that in Christ he was without fault before the throne of God. So do we. And so we can sing with the poet, "Bold shall I stand in that great day, the day of our ascension, for who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully through these absolved I am from sin and fear, from guilt and blame." On Ascension Day, Christ returns on high and stands without fault at the right hand of the throne of God. He led captivity captive. He plundered the plunderer. He deprived the robber of his spoils. He is victorious over every enemy, sin atoned for, hell vanquished, death swallowed up, the devil's head crushed. And then he announces, "Here am I and the children whom thou hast given me. None of them is lost." Our salvation is certain in him. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him, God in love. And now he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The atonement is finished. Everything is finished for us. Paul now says, "If you then be risen with Christ," and we are, If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. Obviously, he's with us now, and we're with him now. The text says, the same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. In the book of Revelation we read, behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Daniel predicted it. He says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. The word for man there is in the Hebrew enosh. It means mortal, dying man. And immediately Isaiah 53 come to mind. This Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. All nations and languages and people should serve him. Well, of course they should. Who wouldn't want to after what he has done, after the service he has rendered for us? As Luther says, that he did all of it, accomplished it all, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Why? That I might be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. In Psalm 68, it's the ascension psalm. The psalmist says that he has ascended on high and received gifts for men. He received them in order to give them. And we have received them in order to give them. May God graciously grant us the strength and the resolve and the willingness to bring this great gift and his gifts, forgiveness, righteousness, health, peace, life, all of it, to men everywhere while there is time. Amen.